when our first replacements come on, we weren't wearing any insignias because snipers are using mm-hmm. as target. And only way you could identify an officer was, well, I had my white stripe, about an inch and a half long, about 4 inches wide, down the back of the helmet. Uh-huh. If it was up and down, it was an officer. If it was sideways, it was a sergeant. Anyway, this one recruit walks up. They walk up to us, and we're all just standing there. And one of them looks at me and says, "Hey, Mac, what in the hell happened to you?" And the first sergeant says, "Shut your mouth. That's a company commander." And that must have made their day. The company commander can't get looking like that. What's going to happen to them? But I still had my combat jacket, and it had blood stains on it. And my face was bandaged, and my hand was bandaged. And I still had the most glorious black eye. You know what a mouse is? I had two of them after that from concussion.
That's when you got hit in the periscope?
Yeah. Well, let me go through that. See, there's only three unit citations in 712. One of them is 1st Platoon C Company, and uh-huh. I was with it at the time. And the reason they got it is because the battalion of infantry got it, and their attached units
uh-huh.
got it. That's the way we got it. Okay, we take Hill 122. Going down off the hill was another story. I'm taking this tank to Flowers. It's one of his tanks that had been knocked out and had a replacement
right,
for him.
Okay, yes.
And he only had three tanks. And I was taking this up, which would give him four. Signalmen had their wires strung alongside the hill. And we had to contact them to come and hold their wires back in case the tank started slipping them. Because if the tank slipped into the wires, the tracks would just chew up the wire. We'd got hell for that when somebody else went up there and chewed them up. Anyway, we got up on the top of the hill, and we were going down towards Flowers, and Lieutenant Colonel stopped me. I was in a Jeep lead with Bailey as my driver.
Okay.
And this Colonel stopped us. He says, "I need some tanks down there. I got a battalion that's surrounded by SS, and they need tank support, but bad." And I says, "Well, let me see if I can get Flowers released." He was down this way with another battalion. I don't know which. I'm not that sure. So I called the division commander, and he, by voice, authorized me. So I called up Flowers, and he come back and joined us. And when I talked to him, I said, "There's only three men in the tank. Need a driver, need a commander. So Bailey will take over as driver, and I'll take over as commander. But you are the platoon leader. I'm just another tank in your platoon."
Right, okay.
So he says, "Okay." So he says, "You follow behind Taylor." So they pulled down in front of me, and we pulled along behind them. Flowers, I think, fired a machine gun a few times, and all of a sudden we was with this battalion. The infantry had pulled away, so we were there. And then we were given orders that we were going to attack. We come down this way. There's a road that runs something like this. Big open field with a hedgerow at the far end. Flowers and C Company of the 358 was going to take that hedgerow. Famous last words. So we pulled up to the road, all in a line, and fired at the hedgerow with a gun and a machine gun. Just raked it, and HE and all to hell. So the platoon leader of the infantry gets out here and says, "Let's go." So we all go, tanks and infantry, usually the infantry behind the tanks.
Uh-huh.
We just get across that road. My tank hits a hog waller, a creek, a mud hole, and tipped over about like so. Mm. And all it would do was that right track would just spin. No traction whatsoever. So we was just sitting there. So I had my head out the turret. You always had your head out unless you was being shot at or something. Had my head out, my carbine in my hands on front of the turret. About that time, the tanks disappeared over the hedgerow. This round come in from this direction, hit the gunner's periscope and penetrated. It blew up when it hit the periscope. I assume it was an HE, high explosive, because it blasted straight on through to the other side of the tank and got back in this corner is our little Joe, which was our gasoline motor runs uh-huh. generator to keep the battery up. All of the recoil cylinders in the gun, the round recoil cylinders, had holes punched in them, leaking oil. so the gun couldn't be fired. The radio, which is in the back of the turret, was full of holes, and it didn't work. So we had no reason for staying with the tank, and Gerlach had his right eye hanging on his cheek. He was in bad shape.
That was Gerard.
Sure,
okay.
And he was not unconscious, but he was extreme pain and almost, he was non-compos-mentis, I guess you'd put it. So we got all out and got behind the tank, and they were looking after him, and I had, my face was blasted with, I was leaking blood all over my face, and trying to figure out what to do, and I said, well, I tell you what, you all stay here with, take care of his wounds, and I'll go back across the road, see if I can get a stretcher and send it back. I did that, but while I was jogging back up there, my jaw was doing like this, and I had a shrapnel about as big as your thumb.
Mm.
Can you see the scar right there?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then your right cheek?
It went through and knocked a tooth out.
Mm.
But it stayed right there.
Did you know this at the time?
Not until I was running across the field, and my jaw was jumping up and down.
Oh.
So I pulled it out and put it in my pocket. I was going to keep it. I don't know what ever happened to it. But I found a medic and sent him on a stretcher back up. But before he got there, one of the other guys, well, when he found me, one guy found me, he said two German SS men had come up, and Bailey tried to fight with them, and they killed him. I don't know how, but they killed him. And the other two guys played dead, let the Germans search him and take their watches and so forth. They didn't bother the injured man, I don't think. They might have, but I don't think. So they left, and this guy left and come back. And I don't know how they got the injured man back or what happened. They told me the medics. Anyway, I was under the impression at the time that they had got him. The medics had got him, brought him back. Or I would never have let him, because that tank was accessible. It was just across the road, and you could get to it. Flower's tank was across the next hedgerow, which is enemy territory. This was no man's land.
At this point, did you know that the other tanks had been knocked out?
Well, some infantrymen there said, hey, didn't you know that they were shooting at you? They said two rounds with tracers went over your head before the third one hit. I never saw them, never heard them. And then they said, and did you see those on fire up ahead, the smoke coming up? That's when I first noticed that there was three columns of smoke. So that's the way that happened. And now right there, you go down this road just a little bit, and it hits a T, and someplace along in here is where they put a monument with a listing of the nine people that were killed.